today is found in the second book of the Bible called Exodus, especially concerning the calling of Moses and his life and what took place with him and the children of Israel. Now this book, its name is Exodus. Its author is Moses. The name means departure. In this book, we have 145 years of history of the Israelites from the time of Joseph's death until the time that the tabernacle was built. We find in the beginning of this chapter that there is the names of the 12 patriarchs given, all sons of Jacob, all that came out of the loins of Jacob. And we find that out of the loins of Jacob, there were 70 souls that came down into the land of Egypt. And all this posterity of Joseph died. Joseph died and all who were related to him, all his brethren. For this teaches us that death is universal, that none of us shall escape this terrible enemy, death. We find it continually in the Bible, and he died, and she died. And so it will be said of you and I someday, and he died or she died. Death means meeting God, something you and I cannot do by nature. We need a Savior. We need a righteousness to stand before this great God. May you be given to feel your need of this Savior, and be given to flee to him while it is yet called today. For these men that we are speaking about found refuge in him, Jacob, Joseph, and now we have a man called Moses who we are to speak about. For this posterity of Jacob and of Joseph grew to be a multitude of people. For they lived in the land of Egypt, and they multiplied exceedingly, and they were very numerous, and they filled all the land of Egypt. This was according to the promise that God had given unto Abraham, that he would make his seed more than the stars that were in heaven. These people being so numerous, they became also powerful. The commentary says, out of the 70 souls that came down into the land of Egypt, the Israelites became 600,000 fighting men. What a multitude out of 70 souls. They practically were more than the Egyptians. And now the Egyptians, they saw these people delighting themselves and living there and enjoying everything they had. But there arose a new king who knew not Joseph. Joseph, when he was alive, was well loved by the people, and likewise his relatives. They were treated very kindly. These people, they remembered what God had done by the hand of Joseph, and they were deeply indebted to Joseph for what that he had received from God and had made known to them, and this the Egyptians had not forgotten. But here we have a king that knew not Joseph. Whether this king came from Pharaoh, who was the king at the time that Joseph lived, it is not known. Whether he came from another family is a question. Or whether this country, Egypt, had been invaded by another country, and this man had taken possession of it and became king, is something that we find in the history of Egypt. But anyway, he knew not Joseph. Therefore, he went walking through the country, looking over the country which he was king. And he seen all these people, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, that they were so numerous in his country. And the thought came to him that someday, these people, they are so numerous, they become more powerful than we are. And if an army should invade our country and they should side with the enemy, then they will take the whole country over. Or they will go out of the country. They will flee from it. So this king, he decided on doing something about this. He thought, we'll give these Hebrews work to do. We'll set them to tasks that are almost unable to be done. And we will set men over the top of them and force them to work. In other words, they would make slaves of these Hebrew people. This man decided to set taskmasters over these Jewish people and see to it that the work was done which they were told to do. And now this king, he set them to do different sorts of employment. They built two cities called Pithom and Ramesses. After what Joseph had done when the famine was prevalent, then Joseph had built store cities too. So he decided that this was a good thing to do, for if they got a year or so that there was a scarcity of food, and they stored it in this city, they would have some to rely upon. He also thought that it was good to build these cities and fortify them against the enemies who might come in. So these Jewish people were forced to build these two cities and do all sorts of work that they were compelled to do. They were taken from their easy life. They were very good people. They were peaceable people. They were a warring people. And therefore, he set them to work, to do good work, work that was essential and work that was progressive. But he thought by pushing these people that surely they would gradually die off and that they wouldn't be so numerous. Making them slaves would cause these people not to want to get married and have children, because if they had children, they were born slaves. But this, the plan that this king had, was not effectual, because even though they were forced by these taskmasters to do so much work, and they were slaves in this respect, still they kept multiplying. They became very numerous, much to the dismay of this new king. His plan was not successful. These taskmasters, they stood over the top of these poor people, forcing them to do things. They sometimes used sticks and beated them if they refused. They were forced to build irrigation streams leading from the River Nile, which usually at a certain time of the year overflowed its banks. To get the benefit of this River Nile and the manure that it carried with it into their land, they dug trenches. So these Jewish people were compelled to dig these trenches so that the water would flow to the places where it never came. They likewise were put into the fields, and they had to use instruments of labor, probably spades and picks and so forth, which was laborious work for them. This manner of work they were put to, and these men used terrible methods to get them to do this. And of course, this brought them home fatigued and all played out, and probably angry too, because they were more or less subject to this and they couldn't do anything against it. This was going on. This king, yeah, he did not see that they were becoming scarce, but they were increasing all the more, the people. So this king decided on an awful method of trying to get rid of these people. Oh, what isn't in the heart of a man by nature? Especially, we see this in the heart of this king. Humanity was not to be found in his heart. He had no pity for humanity. He decided on taking away all of the male children that were born. Just as soon as they were born, they were to be killed. And in this way, them people would diminish. So he called two of the Hebrew midwives. The name of the one was Shiphrah, the other's name was Puah. And he called them to him and told them, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Jewish women, and you see them on the stools, then if it is a male, kill it. But if it's a female, spare it. These midwives then were ordered and commanded by the king to murder these infants that were just born. Now the Bible says that these midwives feared God. What a blessing, my hearers. The commentary says they were Egyptians. Surely Pharaoh would never have got two women of the Hebrews to do something like that to their own nation. But he chose Egyptian women, believing that they would be obedient to him. These midwives, they were told by Pharaoh to kill these infants just as soon as they were born. They were to stifle them. They were to smother them. They were to give that they wouldn't breathe. And then they would make the excuse that they died in birth. This was the secret plan of this king. What an awful thing to do, my goodness. Terrible. But these midwives, they didn't obey this commandment because they feared God. And now because they didn't obey, naturally, they multiplied exceedingly more. So this king, he called these midwives to him and asked them why that they did not do as he had commanded them. Well, they said, these Hebrew women, they're much more livelier than the Egyptian women. And they have their children before we even get to them. Now, many of us probably, when we read this, think, well, this was just a lie. But Henry says he don't think it was a lie, because it was under the blessing of God that they were being multiplied and becoming so numerous. It was God that was doing this. And it could be that these women had very little trouble in giving birth to a child. They had very little pain and very little labor. And before that even a midwife got to them, the child was born. The Jews have a saying that these women that were pregnant and to have a child, they prayed to their Father in heaven, and he delivered them before the midwives got to them. Very good answer, I think, that these women, these midwives, were telling the truth to Pharaoh. God put this word into their mouth. Had they been lying, had there been anything wrong with what they said, they probably would have been killed themselves, but you don't read anything of the kind. Now, they disobeyed the king's commandment. This, likewise, is a lesson to us. We are to obey God above all. We are not to obey man if it's contrary to the commandment of God. Many fear man, and the fear of man brings a snare. And in fearing man, we give way, and we do things contrary to God. We are not to sin against God in no way whatsoever, even if man tries to compel us to do so. What a blessing if we have, as these midwives had, the fear of God in us. The fear of God in any person will overcome the fear and the snare of the man. The fear of God in a house will cause that house to be blessed by God. Of these women having this fear of God, God rewarded them. It says, and God gave unto them houses. So this means that these midwives, probably these two, were in charge of all the midwives in that particular area. And these two were given to experience so that God is good to those that obey him and do his commandments. For they, according to the commentary, they became married to Hebrews, and they began to have Hebrew families themselves. They had assisted the Hebrews in building up their families by not killing the male children. And now God assisted them in raising up families and prospering them and blessing them. This blessing God has promised, that if you should give even a cup of cold water to one of his people who are in need of it, he will not forget it. He will remember it. And he will reward that person that does that. So these midwives were doing to God's Israel. These Israelitish people were the infant church at this time. And they already were suffering persecution. The seed of the serpent was in this man, Pharaoh, this new king. The devil prompted him to do this so that the children would be destroyed. He was aiming the devil at destroying the church of Christ already, but he would not succeed. The devil has used many in Scripture for this purpose. Herod was used by the devil. He had John the Baptist beheaded, although he had said himself that he loved to hear him and went to hear him often. So likewise, Christ himself had to flee out of Jerusalem or Bethlehem for the fear of that king, Pharaoh, who had all the children beheaded at that time, butchered. This story about these Israelites down in the land of Egypt, it teaches us likewise that if we be any of the children of God, we most certainly will suffer persecution in this life. So these people suffered this. And now where his plan did not succeed even in having the male children killed, he made a ruling throughout his land that if anyone seen any of the Hebrew women have a male child, they should throw it into the river. What an awful commandment, my hearers. No regard whatsoever for humanity. Who of us, have you ever looked down on a child just born a couple of weeks old? Oh, what a feeling you have towards such a poor infant that knows nothing and is just lying there sweetly. Why, not to have any humanity for something like that proves what a hard heart a person has. And it is true, many mothers even in our times have no heart whatsoever for the child that they bring into this world. Terrible humanity is at this time given over into the hands of Satan. And now this order of this king, that if they saw any of the Jewish women have a male child, to throw it into the river. And this brought an awful confusion in the country, because he offered money to those who would let him know, or let those know, that had to throw the children in the river
he would reward them.
So throughout the land there were men and women watching to see if any of these Hebrew women had a child and it was a male child. Or if they gave the information thereof, they were made rich. But there were also so many that were employed by the king to throw the children in the river. What an awful thing. It does not seem as if they had any knowledge of God or any knowledge of themselves and of the sins that they were committing and that they would have to answer someday before God for this. This terrible commandment existed until we come into the next chapter. There we have the birth of Moses. There was a Levite who married a Levitish woman, and they were joined together, and they had a son, and this son was just born at this time when this commandment was in effect. Oh, if you stop to think in your own little mind, what must a woman have went through at this particular time? Suppose a woman was pregnant, possibly even the mother of Moses. She possibly said, better to be barren and have no children than to bring children into the world for the murderer. Probably many a mother was praying to God that she wouldn't have a male child, because if she had a female child, it would be spared, but the male child would be killed. What a terrible condition, my dear, to have in a country and having a king commanding such things to take place. What a blessing if you stop to think of what must be going on with these mothers and fathers in this country. What a blessing that when we have children, we have no such commandment hanging over our children, that we can bring our children up in peace and in security. Surely, our children are not under such a peril to be thrown into the river, but we as parents know there are so many things that the children are tempted to do when they grow older. And any mother that has a heart for its child trembles often to think, what shall become of my boy or of my girl, even though it has no commandment over it as this. What a mercy if we may be given by the grace of God to trust in this Almighty God who has given us our children. And as the commentary says, in the next chapter we have this daughter of Pharaoh saying unto Moses' mother, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. Henry says, or Scott, he says, when any Christian parent brings its child to be baptized, and when it prays that God would be so good as to put his grace in that child, but then God says, as you are standing there bringing your child to baptism, God says, take this child and bring it up for me, and I will give thee thy wages. What a mercy if we may bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing to bring a child up for God. We know not what God has in store for our children when they're born. We know not his designs. We know not what position they will have in this life. But usually God sees to it that they are educated and prepared so that when they come to the time that he wishes to use them, that they have been given the necessity to be able to perform those things which he caused them to do. Here we have Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses, and Amram, who was the father of Moses, looking forward to having another child. They had already two children. They had Miriam. She was about 10 or 11 years of age at this time. And they had Aaron, who was 3 years older than Moses. But these children, they were brought up not under the peril of being taken and being killed. But this child which she was carrying would be subject to the commandment of the king. And now, when she gave birth to a son. And it was such a beautiful child. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says so. Have you ever read it? Stephen, speaking unto the Jews who were going to stone him, he speaks about Moses, that when he was born, he was a fair child, beautiful child. And when these parents looked upon this child, to give this child over into the hands of the executioners, oh, what mother or father could do that? They decided they wouldn't do it. They decided to pray and to hide the child. How long? They didn't know. All these people, they were led to a praying life day and night under this commandment of the king. You could imagine the man going to work all day long. I guess he was praying that God would keep that child from being executed. All day long the mother was praying, for she never knew if an executioner might come in or somebody had found out that she had had this male child and given notice of it. And by hiding it the way she did, she was also in fear of her own life, because he had a penalty on that, that if they did something like this, they would lose their lives. And as she hid him, by faith, it says, 3 months, by faith. Her faith went out every day to God in prayer. What a mercy, my hearers, to have God as your refuge and to seek him in the time of trouble. He knew what these parents were undergoing. And now at the end of 3 months, it seems that the mother was given to know that she was suspected of having a male child. She couldn't keep him any longer. She couldn't hide him any longer. So she decided that she would take the child and lay it in a basket and lay it in the flags by the riverside. It was God that put this into her heart. This was something to do, my hearers, to put this child in a basket by the river. You can see that it was by faith, because who would attempt to do something like this? She put it in the care and in the trust of the Lord God Almighty, and he had his eye upon her. He took care of it. Oh, he's a wonderful God, my dear. It was the providence of God over this child that this daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river. Just before that, Moses was placed in this basket at the river's brink. How wonderful. And when she came along the river walking with the maidens, she saw this basket, and she told one of the maidens to bring it to her. And when they brought it to her, she opened